Hello everyone. Quá trời nào. Hơi bị chưa? You're on mute, Peter. It's better. Talk, please. Oh, it's changed.
Right, that should be better. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can everyone
Good.
else hear him? Loud and clear? Great.
Good. Right, that's me. Okay.
You're
How many have we
in.
got? Good. How many have we got today? Quite a few. Okay. So, how's everybody doing?
Reasonable. How
Good.
are you?
Okay, just got an ant problem again.
Oh.
Tried to get my light out, and it's full of ants. They got
They
into and
like
built a nest. They got they build they're going inside and build nests into things.
your light.
They do. Last time it was a stand. Now the light itself is full of ants.
Maybe you should move the light away from the corner.
It was in the drawer. They've also got into the drawers to make nests.
I know a psionics chart for that.
Yeah, well, we'll have to look into that one. Find out what's causing them, because obviously they've been here since we've had some strange electrical activity from next door.
Yes, I know what you mean. The joys of Kaepernick.
Oh, you're trying to put it on now.
This.
Yeah, the screws on top of that and then plug it in. Sorry, just as the light lamp's being sprayed. Not like that. Underneath.
Oh,
Yeah. Okay. So, is everybody ready?
there. I'm ready. Are you ready?
I'm all ready, yep.
All right. So let me begin then. So welcome everyone. We are the 1st of July. Oh gosh, nearly
Yeah,
halfway
oh
through
yeah.
the year.
We are, we are. In
Yeah, it's going fast.
the petal.
So welcome and happy summer if it's summer for you or wherever you are in the world. So today, Peter will be talking to you about the easy first steps to expanding into the higher
Turn it down a bit.
dimensions.
Turn it down a bit.
Peter's currently being blinded.
Yeah. Hang on, let me
All
just adjust this a minute.
right, I'll do the intros while you're doing that. So he's going to talk to you about expanding into higher dimensions, and this is obviously linked to his recent article, Understanding the Sixth, Seventh, and Eighth Dimensions. So he explains to you what these dimensions are and talks about how they can support you expanding into those higher dimensions. So if you have not yet already done so, it's a very interesting read and it's a follow-on article from the one that he wrote last month, which explains the fourth to the sixth dimensions. So as part of this expanding into the higher dimensions, Peter also talks in his article about the help of fairy magic and djinn magic. Are you going to be expanding on that today? Talking about how fairy and djinn magic. Can't hear you now. Have you changed your settings? He's unplugged something, I think, when he plugged the light in. But anyway, I saw a nod of the head. So he is going to be talking about how djinn magic and fairy magic supports this expansion into the higher dimensions. And in order to help you to expand into these higher dimensions, Peter is offering a 7-day discount on the djinn magic and fairy magic courses. And the links will be going into the chat in just a moment. So 30% off of djinn magic and fairy magic starting today for 7 days. So if you fancy expanding a little bit, then you can get your hands on those over the next week. And obviously, Peter will talk more once his microphone is working as to how this magic can support your expansion. So before he starts talking, just something else that I want to note is some upcoming in-person trainings that Peter will be doing across Europe, etc. There will be the Ultimate Healing Body Electronics in person being held in the Netherlands from the 17th to the 22nd of July. So if you fancy going and meeting Harry in person, give us a wave, Harry. And if you fancy going and meeting Peter and doing some point holding, then 17th to 22nd of July is your date to get to Amsterdam. If you are interested in sexual healing and relationships, and I have just completed that course myself, I'm still unmarried, but I've completed the course, then he will also be doing that from the 29th to the 30th of July, also in Amsterdam. And then he'll be popping on over to Germany, where he will be facilitating the darkness course in person. I bet that one will be a good one. I fancy doing that in person. And also voodoo, the voodoo course. He'll be running his voodoo workshop in person. And I could guarantee that that would be an amazing one to see live and in person, watching Peter dance and shakers rattle and whatnot to the voodoo gods. And the dates for those darkness is the 5th and 6th of August in Germany, and the voodoo workshops the 7th and 8th of August. If you are interested in any of these in-person healing, if you are interested in any of these training courses, then I will put the link to the page on the website where you can get more information and how to book yourself onto those courses. And one final one. Oh, it's not Amsterdam, it's Assen. Oh, my apologies. It's near. Sorry, I don't know why I said Amsterdam. I had that in my head. Thank you very much for correcting me. The other one that's going to be exciting that's upcoming too, which might be a date for your diary, is Egypt. And that will be running in December from the 7th to the 17th of December. And I'll allow Peter to talk as much as he likes about Egypt in just a moment, because even I don't know too much about that one. And the in-person point holding that we held here in Thailand was a huge success. And so we will be doing it, or I won't be, Peter will be doing it again. Peter and Sam will be hosting that again next year, 2024, around the month of July. So mark that one in your calendars. I can hear you now, Peter. Mark that one in your calendars if you want to come to Thailand and do in-person point holdings. You've got all year to save up. Yeah, but thank you, Blage. Blage was with us this year. So you've got all year to save up, all year to plan your holidays and everything around the month of July, knowing that you will be coming to Thailand for 1, 2, or 3 weeks of that intensive course. So, Peter, did you want to say anything about Egypt? Because there's not much out there at the moment about that one. I can't hear you. I thought I could. I did briefly, but I don't hear you now.
Can you hear me now? Hang on. I might need to change everything here. This is... Let's try without this. Can you hear me? Was everything gone? Hang on. Can you hear me?
Yeah, can hear you. Yes.
Yeah, but do that ahead. I don't know what's going on with that again. One moment it worked, then it didn't. Anyway,
okay.
So the details are about to go up the website. I've just gone with Perry and sent them over to admin, so they'll be going up soon anyway. But this is an initiatory journey, so I recommend people first check on one of my blogs about preparing for initiation. There's a process you can go through, which takes 9 weeks to actually bond with the deity you want to work with, so you'd be ready for the initiation. Because this is not just a sightseeing, obviously. We're doing this to actually get to very some sacred places. Yeah, Vegas is a place that tourists just don't go. We're going to go to these sacred places where the power points are. We're going to have initiation out in the desert. Now, the reason we're doing the desert rather than actually in the temples is simply because in the temples, it's hard to stay overnight because it's a lot of tourist control and so on. And once I've excavated the temple, then suddenly, you know, you can't use it. This actually happened when I was initiated. We're actually on the bun. I was actually hired as a psychic by some archaeologist to actually look for a temple. When I found it, the Bedouin women came out and said, no, don't excavate it because we're using it. They were still worshipping the goddess there. Thing is, once you actually excavate, it becomes touristy, they can't do their magic work anymore, which kind of ruins it. So I still know where the PowerPoints are, even the ones buried under the desert, and that's where we do the initiation, out in the desert, on the PowerPoints, rather than in any of the excavated temples. We'll be able to have private time for a few hours at a time in each of these temples to actually do our magical work. So it's going to be a very initiatory journey. And the initiation will be overnight in the desert, so if you want to prepare for that, you kind of pick which deity you're closest to, and you start the devotional period, as I described in my blog.
Blogs have gone up in the chat. May I ask, initiation to what?
To a deity, basically. You pick which is the deity closest to you out of the Egyptian deities, basically, which one you want to work with. You'll be initiated under that one.
Great.
We'll be talking more today, actually, about how where they fit in anyway, why we have like deities in between us and what we call creator, and why we have this hierarchy to work with.
Fabulous. So that will be happening in December 7th to the 17th. So again, a date for your diary if you are interested. Now, Peter, because of the change of microphone, I'm going to ask you to do two things, please. Number one, timeline. And number two, can you bring the laptop closer to you so we can hear you better?
Hear me okay? Like, okay, then.
Yeah, but just slow down a little bit and put yourself on the right timeline.
Okay.
Thank you very much. All right, so let's get into today's topic. If you've got any questions about anything that I've already said, then you're welcome to pop those into the chat. And off we go with Peter talking about your easy first steps to expanding into higher dimensions.
Okay, put me in the middle. There we go. So before I actually go into the easy first steps, I want to just elaborate a little bit more about the different dimensions I spoke of. I want to go up to the 9th and 10th as well, just so we can see how everything fits in. I left off the article on the 8th dimension, because this is the point where you actually have access to all the different dimensions, all the timelines. When you get to the 9th dimension, you have easy travel across anything. You actually instantly travel to anywhere in space and time in any dimension. 10th dimension, where you have actually control of time and space in all dimensions. Basically, that's the idea of being God. Control of the whole thing. Being able to travel is more like the idea of the angelic level. Remember, angels are described as being able to travel across the world in a second. These are the messengers, you see. These are what carry the energy of the creator down to its different components. See, when you're in that 10th dimension, where consciousness is actually control of the whole of time and space, it needs to be divided into pieces for us to actually understand and access it. Trying to actually look at the whole of creation all at once is quite a big job. This is why I have these messengers. 9-dimensional beings which can travel across all time, all different timelines, all different dimensions, being wherever they want. These are beings then which give you access to that creator. Although they talk about angels, this includes all the things we've been considered to be the messengers of the ones, dragons, different individual deities. And this is why, you know, we actually pick an individual deity to work with rather than simply go straight to the creator, because that is actually way beyond our understanding, way beyond our ability to actually embrace, you know, that kind of consciousness. But the non-dimensional level is where we have different beings which connect with that. So basically, 9-dimensional level will be the level of God. 10th dimension will be the level of God. 9th dimension is the level of the deities, angels and dragons. 8th dimension will be the level of the jinn. Now, before we actually look at where those first steps are, you may consider that from where we are now in the 3-dimensional world, you might expect that the closest steps to being in the 4th and 5th dimensions should be all around us. And actually, yes, they are. They're called trees. When we start meditating with trees, we realize that they actually build time and space. All trees in the world are connected to each other, and they live in past, present, and future all at once. So actually, this has always been the way we first awakened, through trees. So a lot of the old magic was, you know, done out in the wilderness because trees were our guides. They're actually the sentinels which guard the other world. And that's why in the pagan calendar we have like 13 moons, each moon governed by a different tree, because that tree becomes the guardian of the astral plane at that time, a change over the months. So trees basically are our first way of actually expanding into higher dimensions. They take us beyond space and time. We connect with those, we open to a bigger reality. So easiest first step is to meditate with trees. I'm not talking about just hugging them, but that's useful as well. But so if you actually sit and meditate under a tree, let it blend with you, they start changing you. You let them energy in, they expand you. you begin to perceive how they perceive. And the reason they don't have physical movement is because the movement is in the inner planes. When we actually have those tree spirits on us, like we have like these little beads or necklaces, for instance, it's a two-way relationship, because the tree spirit, by being with me, gets physical movement in this plane, which didn't have before. And in return, it teaches me how to move in the astral plane. So this kind of blending going, this bonding, the trees are always been our first step to expanding into higher dimensions. The other thing that's all around us, which is also really multidimensional, are crystals. Now, be aware, crystal isn't just an object, it's a consciousness. And they're actually even more multidimensional than trees. A crystal isn't even able to measure time and space. They have no concept of it. They're totally beyond them. So if you've got a crystal, once you've actually collected it, it doesn't matter if it's in front of you or across the world. It makes no difference to the crystal at all, because it's not attached to time and space. The body is simply a crystallization of consciousness into our three-dimensional reality. Once you bond with it, it can guide you out of that three-dimensional reality. When you begin to communicate with the crystals, they connect you in from a distance. You begin to lose those boundaries in a way. You begin to lose the limitation of time and space. And these are the first steps. You see, all magic requires us to realize that this is all an illusion. And therefore, the less real we can make this, the easier it is to control. When we have other areas which are more real than this plane, then we can be unreal magicians. You see, magic isn't about trying to go into the illusion to change reality. It's the other way around. We go to reality to change the illusion, because this is a dream. Things you make real are the ones you have a hard time changing. So as you expand into other dimensions by communicating with other beings, and trees and crystals being easy ones to start with, do actually make you aware of other planes, therefore this one is less real. You become more and more aware that this is a dream. And then it's easy to change because it's a dream. You're no longer concerned with how much power we have, because why do you need power to change a dream? It doesn't take more power to make a big change, it does take a small change because it's still a dream. Even the struggle for power is being caught in this illusion. So the magical power doesn't really come from trying to increase your power. It comes from waking up to realize that this is a dream. And to do that, you have to have something else that's more real. So we need to make something real, so life has purpose. If our spirituality is more real than this dream, then we got direction. So everything we do in this world has some meaning to our spirituality. So we have to wake up in that way in order to actually be above the illusion so we can control it. Magic gives us the ability to completely shape the illusion, therefore shape time and space. Although this is done from a 10th dimensional culture, so we call it God, these different layers access that space for us. So in a way, we are God, but having come down three dimensions, we come through these layers. We come out of this oneness in order to live within time and space. It's too vast. We have to leave it outside ourselves. So these gods we left out there are actually us who we've left behind. Which is why we then have our personal deities we're connected with, because this is where we came through. We come from this oneness through layers, through our deities, our jinns, you know, the angels or whatever, the dragons, through the fairies as well, and through nature. Obviously, we are linked to nature. We can't live without it. But all of people miss is that the fae, the fairies, have been our teachers of magic from the beginning. They too are more multidimensional. They're absolute time. So they're our next level of teachers. It's through nature we have the doorway into the fairy realm, and because the trees actually exist in both worlds. And therefore, when the fairies themselves become our magical teachers, and when by bonding with them, even just by being with them, it changes your consciousness. So because you're blending to a degree, you're changing. You see something different from what you're used to. So your consciousness does expand multidimensionally. You're aware more of the magic. Also, once you begin to be aware of other realms, you realize that this one is illusion anyway, because it's easy to see that this other realm's overlapping with it. You begin to see it's all energy. Different realms overlap, and you can actually be in one or the other as you choose. It shows that none of it is really solid. So the more we do this, the more we become aware that this is an illusion we can shape with our consciousness. So the fairies are next level teachers. This is why I've put a special in this course now, because people want to become more multidimensional. That's the easiest way to do it. It's really hard to actually do it just by your own effort. One way I used to do when I was first at university learning about other dimensions, we used to try and visualize in the four-dimensional hypercube, the Tesseract. It's not difficult once you get used to it, but if you can imagine a cube and expand to fourth dimension to make a hypercube, you may find it clicks and you actually find yourself then in four-dimensional space. But not everybody does that easily. But I find after working with the trees and expanding naturally, you become more and more aware of this multidimensional reality. You step out of this three-dimensional limitation. So definitely working with the trees and crystals and the fairies and so on is much easier. So how the path has been laid out from the beginning. So the easiest first step first was going to the forest, start sitting under trees, meditating with them. When you're at home, have crystals you meditate with. Realize these are all living beings which are multidimensional. Therefore, they change us into a degree. They blend with us. They all form kind of alliances of co-creation with us. Crystals are very good co-creators. Once you tune to work crystal and feel what it does and how it wants to work with you, you realize it's something you can work with as a co-creator. And through that kind of co-creation bond, it's taking you out of your limitation. Because it is more multidimensional than you are. It puts you into that space. The more you work with crystals, the more find you actually awaken to magic in general. Doesn't mean you have to actually use one particular form of magic with crystals. When they start expanding you, all magic becomes easier. Same when you work with the fairies. People think this is a one form of magic, but actually, when you work with fairies, you realize they're studying many forms of magic because they've got more time to do it. One thing, they've spent all the time doing magic because they don't have technology. They don't have magic as their main interest. And secondly, they live much longer than us. They could be 700-800 years old. So they've had a lot of time to learn all the different forms of magic. There are far more than we have. So you find actually blending with the fairies is expanding you into higher dimensions where all magic works better. It doesn't matter which form you actually want to practice. It's basically the nature and the fairies and the crystals have been our first steps, which have always opened us since the beginning of time. Shamans have always actually found these things in nature, the crystals, the trees, that's what there was there. Less prevalent now when people have modern technology and they're forgetting nature. A connection to nature has been a first step of awakening. When we lose that, we start losing the magic. So the first step then is meditate with trees and crystals. Go further, work with the fairies and then with the djinn. So the djinn go to eighth dimension. So they really help you connect to the gods and actually work very powerful magic with you. In that process, you become aware of these dimensions I was trying to describe. As you become multidimensional, you will be skipping timelines in your mind and going to different dimensions and seeing the whole course of creation. We can actually see how things get from A to B. You see how your thoughts are going to manifest in the future. You see the different timelines you can tweak and change. Cause and effect become irrelevant. So we see things in three-dimensional space as time only being going into the future, going one way. But actually, when you look at how it works scientifically, we see that cause isn't in the past, it's in the future. It does work up to the fifth dimension. And when we actually step outside this linear time and don't have to worry about causes anymore, we simply create the future we want. The causes we had later, they are under our control. Timelines can shift. You can change your past. In fact, we change the past all the time when you consider it. You don't talk to your family at some point and you all have different memories of what the past was. Got to quite agree on it because you all live in a slightly different past. We take the past as a backdrop to explain our present reality, why we do things. As I pointed out, the course isn't really in the past. We choose a future, then we go back and add a course. This is why the past is changeable. But actually, once we actually decide to create the future we want, and not worry about cause and effect, we don't need to worry about the past at all anymore. It really doesn't matter what happened to the past. But it's not real. It all goes as you see me going on with creating the future you want. It doesn't matter what your past is, it doesn't change your ability to change it, to create the future you want. So you'll find then when you're working multidimensionally this way, by expanding through trees, crystals, fairies, and so on, this gets much easier as we go along. Creating reality becomes something natural, not just something mystical idea that people are not just getting. I found, for instance, with the kind of law of attraction that's going around, studies have shown it has a 95% failure rate because people aren't really understanding what makes it work. When you're trapped in 3D and make everything real, it doesn't work simply because it's too real. It works when you realize it's a dream. And that only happens when you have other areas that are more real than this. So another very simple tool we often use to actually let go of the realness of this world is the Syrian triangle. If you've ever seen it, it's like quite a tall triangle. And the exact dimensions, the base is 4 units, the sides are 9. With its 9 inches or 9 feet or whatever, it's 4 by 9. That shaped triangle is the daughter Sirius. The way you use it in meditation is quite simple. You picture that shaped triangle in front of you, and you step through it as if it was a doorway. And as you step through it, you come into this kind of light, bluish-white light, kind of the star Sirius. in that light, you really let go of the realness of what you don't want to be too real anymore. It's basically this physical illusion when you think it's giving you trouble. You see, in your life, you find there are different things you make too real. Those are the ones you're not changing. Some people, their health is too real. Some people, their relationships are too real. Some people, their money or their career is too real. The one you're not changing is because you're stuck in it because it's too real. So you step into that triangle and decide to let go of the realness of that thing and just spend some time there. When I come out, it's less real. Then you're more able to change it. So all these simple first steps are what's actually going to give you the understanding of what I was writing about in these blogs. So you actually experience that multidimensional reality. Okay, any questions?
One question we have. How can I absorb astral energy from an oak tree 24/7 in this life and next?
This is what happens when you actually partake a tree spirit from it. I mean, normally you'd go and sit under a tree and make a relationship to it. And when you're sitting under it, you're absorbing energy from it. It is changing you. But remember, the tree is beyond time and space too. If you made that connection and actually realize you are taking it with you and just choose to make that bond, you can actually then talk to the tree from a distance. Therefore, you can actually talk to it. So you're constantly absorbing energy from it. And obviously, in the fairy magic, you learn to weave a structure so you're connected to it. So if you've done the fairy magic course, you simply weave a connection to the tree so it's with you 24/7. You can do the same with any point of power you want, or points of power you visit from earth energy points or religious places of a special view. Weave them in, it's like you're there all the time. So if you haven't done the fairy course, that's definitely one I recommend, so you can actually weave yourself in time and space into the place you want. Help make those connections.
I have two non-topic related questions. Are you happy for me to go to those?
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay, so the first one is regarding psionics, liminal door closer talisman. Do you first have to make a ray pattern for the target, or can you do it by visualization holding the target box?
No, you don't need a ray pattern. I mean, basically, this is what I've done with the talismans. You simply think of what the kind of doorway is, which is like a connection to a person, a plane, or see, any liminal door, so it means anything's in between. So apart from actually you being attacked or drained, relationships can be drained because of the space in between you is a liminal space. Ray-5, for instance, that's you and not affected, but your relationship is being affected. There's a liminal doorway then. There's an opening to the relationship egregore itself, to something that's bothering it. These are kind of things you're looking for, things that are in between. So you only have to think of that and douse a rate for it. That's enough. You don't need to create a pattern, but to get a rate for it. And then you put the neutralizing rate into the box and that doorway will be closed. Body would be erased.
Next question is still regarding psionics, about the ultrasonic chart. Healing someone is also healing yourself. Is that also the case when you is that also the case when you create psionics charts for somebody? I experience and see a lot doing psionics for someone else. How does that work?
It does to a degree, but it's only when you see something in another person that reflects in you, which it's there to a degree, but it's not always the same melt. Sometimes you find that people being drawn towards you for healing were reflecting something you need to deal with. Therefore, it kind of brings to the surface, you begin to notice these things. Therefore, healing them will find it affects your patterns of you that are similar. If what they're going through is nothing to do with you, then it doesn't work that way. But quite often the patient brings up similar things that you have. So you tend to heal what you have in common.
Regarding the Ra protection spell, do the candles have to burn for 1 month every day?
A month every day? That doesn't sound right. You mean 1 hour?
I mean, maybe every day for 1 month?
1 hour. Generally, the spell was 2 weeks, so you need about an hour a day.
Okay, thank you. And then is the Mystic Temple of Mu, M-U, Mu, in the fourth and fifth dimensions?
Hi there, Aziz.
Hello. So these other places like Mu, Atlantis, Lemuria, they're all places almost like they are multidimensional because they're actually not fixed in time and space. Do you want to explain what they really are? They're resonance. Like, for instance, Atlantis is known as the lost land. All power you've lost can be found there wherever you lost it. Lemuria, on the other hand, is the land of the imagination forgot. Any power that you've forgotten could be brought back from there. Doesn't matter where you were when you forgot it. I mean, see things not enter space, therefore they are beyond fifth dimension. From the seventh dimension, you have many multiple possible universes which don't have to have the same cause, and don't have the same beginning point. See, in the sixth dimension, everything has the same beginning point, what you might call the Big Bang. From the seventh dimension, those times change. Timeline's not fixed. They can have different causes, different times of beginning, different laws of physics. And quite often you look at these magical realms, they're different laws of physics than what we experience now, which is why they were very magical. So Mu, Atlantis, Lemuria, all of that level, seventh dimension, not in space, but actually in resonance. Whether or not they're physical, we can't really tell where they were once physical. People have stories if they exist in our timeline. But it may be that they were simply doorways people used at that time, because by the way, resonance, they're not of this dimension. They're places of power which connect us to a certain magical reality. Different laws of physics there.
Regarding fairy magic, can I go to take a bath in Har with my heart dragon, or is it better to go alone?
You can take your dragon there, that's fine. They'll be recharged by it too, because it's a very magical energy that recharges everything.
At the moment, there are no other questions, but an observation from me, just while we're waiting to see if any questions come through. When I read your blog, I automatically thought, oh no, that's far too much for me. I'm not possible to do any of that. Any advice for someone who might think it's a bit too far-fetched and out of their realm in order to be able to do these things?
Start at the beginning. I mean, actually, if you look at my earlier books, like my work on shamanic healing, you start by learning how to communicate with tree spirits, how to sit down and meditate, and how to cut wands and so on. Very traditional magic, but actually a lot of people these days want things to be too scientific. They forget the basics. And actually, these are the basics which open the doorway. So if you want magic, you have to step outside the logical to a degree anyway, even though quantum physics is proving what magicians have always said. I'll explain these things in terms of quantum physics and how physics works and what these dimensions are. But actually, what actually gets you there is the traditional magic rather than trying to be too scientific. I'm trying to explain it this way, but actually, if you're going to work it, go to the basics. Going to a basic meditation with tree spirits will expand you. It's not a mental exercise. You relax, recharge, expand, changes you. You grow. That simple. And when you do things like the fairy magic course, you find it is quite easy because you initiate it. You learn to have the thread to weave with. You can do all kinds of wondrous things. And it's actually very easy. You can learn this a couple of days and it's suddenly you're working magic. Because this is how close we really are. The veil between the worlds is really very thin. It takes a lot of effort of closing your minds to what's out there. And look at how people protect their kind of viewpoint of the world. They want to push away anything that's different. Because it's threatening. Reason so threatening is it's so close. When you really open to the magic, it's really a case of letting down those boundaries and being different, letting your understanding of the universe change. It's not so rational anymore. It's not as warehouse people think it is. It's not in the people's fixed ideas of the world. It's something completely different. It's going to completely change your relationship to the world and everything and how you think. If you allow that, that's when it gets easy. It's really down to your own mental block. Whether you want to stay in a fixed viewpoint or whether you want to actually shift that. But start with the basics. Tree spirit work. This is my book on shamanic healing, which talks about tree spirits. You want to work with that. Otherwise, you go out to the trees, start meditating with them.
Can you meditate with trees from a distance? Like, can I look at a tree and meditate with it without being next to it?
You can. It's good to go and meet it first. Once you've made a bond with it, then the connection is there. You can actually meet it from a distance as well. Just like with people, usually it's best if you've met them before you start talking to them over the phone. It's actually much, much more intimacy to it once you've met them.
Yeah.
Trees, you know, once you've actually gone out to the tree and felt it and meditated with it, you find you've made a connection. Then you meditate later, you can be there in your meditation. You know, sometimes in your meditation go into the inner world, so you can be sitting under that tree from at home.
Next question. I am having great results with psionics and want to move to the ultra plate. Do you offer a payment plan?
Can do, yes. Most of the things which are a bit more expensive, some kind of payment plan for, just contact me, we'll work something else. I'm quite open to these things. But yes, it's well worth going on because the ultra plate is very, very high power. as I pointed out in my blog, it uses the power of all the universes. Remember, if you look to the Marvel kind of films, they mentioned there's a thing called the Phoenix, which has all the sonic power of all the kind of universes. It's a bit like that. Immense power. Could do anything.
Which dimensions do our higher selves reside in?
That's almost like our link to the ninth and tenth. See, one being isn't necessarily of one dimension. They embrace many. A higher self is a bond between us and the Creator. Therefore, it usually embraces all dimensions in between. Therefore, it connects with the fairies and with the angels, all those things. It tends to be ever oneness with them. See, what our higher self really is about is like us before we split in different pieces. See, when the Creator first created the universe, he really wanted to enter that to experience its creation. Do that to split itself throughout time and space. So all the different parallel lives and past lives, all different pieces of us. The higher self experiences all those at once. It's the whole of us that's beyond time and space. But it's not yet Creator, but it's connected to it. It's almost like part of that point of separation from the oneness into an individual experience. So they're most closely related to the ninth dimension, alongside the angels and dragons and so on. But all six understand down to the third dimension where we are. That way they make a good connection.
So the book that Peter was talking about is in the chat. If anyone has any further questions, then please do let us know. So I've got pings going off. Peter, whilst we're waiting to see if anybody else has any other questions, could you please talk about the workshop that you're going to be facilitating very shortly in just under an hour?
Oh, yes. This is where we go more into how to work with this. Basically, we're going to be giving some empowerments to actually really expand your power to actually be a multidimensional. There's going to be, first of all, the fifth dimensional prana empowerment. So when we go into prana, it is fifth dimensional because light is. What we see as light is only almost like a reflection of something happening quite dimensionally. It's almost like when you see ripples on a swimming pool. You might see the shadow underneath. You see a shadow of those ripples rather than the ripples themselves. It's how light is as a reflection of this fifth dimensional vibration. To really understand the energy of prana, we have to actually absorb it in the fifth dimension. A lot of people are not doing that because they don't understand what it is. They're trying to absorb energy from the universe. But when you absorb it on the fifth dimension, you may really be energized. So by giving you a fifth dimensional prana activation, it's going to first of all increase your prana, which means all your energy increased, especially your spiritual energies and your mental capacity and all your understanding. But this is also going to actually begin to prepare you for higher dimensions because vice versa, your nature is fifth dimensional. Therefore, it'll give you the ability to work more with future causality, change your futures, we need to cultivate futures, to discreate by seeing a kind of bigger picture. It helps with all that level. Next empowerment I'm going to give is going to be sixth element attunement. You may understand then, as we expand into higher dimensions, we can have more elements than the basic four or fifth of ether, if you understand at the moment. Sixth element has actually been something that's used to more expressed in Japan in many forms. Used to use it in ninjutsu on the higher levels. When you meditate, this is pure luck. It seems the universe is all on your side all the time. When you tune with this, it means you're in the right time and space everywhere, so everything happens at the right moment, so you have good luck. Things seem to work for you. So it can be considered to be an energy of pure luck, but it's particularly it is an element. When you tune to that, basically you're going to be lucky, as well as actually gain increasing understanding of how the universe works, how to be lucky and be in charge of that. After those two attunements, we're going to begin to look at how we're going to begin to actually restructure the fake body to embrace these different dimensions, and actually how we can use that to actually create doorways to what we want. Which is why I've asked people to actually come with a preparation of which deities are going to work with. Because in weaving you on the ninth dimensional level, need to actually open to the right deities for you. Now, this is also really useful for those who've done the fairy magic course, because you learn to weave them. We had a fairy thread. This will give you more knowledge of the different dimensions you weave with, so it gives you more possibility of what you're going to create with it. So you can actually use this afterwards as well to actually weave doorways and attuning devices to different dimensions, different deities, to the angels, dragons, anything you want. So you're going to work through the chakras here to actually tune them in multidimensionally to actually access the powers you need. By doing that, it simply prepare the body for growth. Spiritual growth from here becomes easy. The magic becomes easy. The connection to the deities, to God, to the angels, the fairies and the jinn all becomes easier. You can use this later, for instance, if you were to do gin magic course and you've got this thread, you can actually just weave your portal to the gin realms, and therefore the bond is very easy, they come in easily, and they're pretty powerful in front of you, and it works nice and easily. Same with the fairies, you can weave them in. Same with any angels or dragons, you can weave those portals to them. Everything becomes easy from there. So basically we're going to do the two attunements, and we're going to start looking at your individual deities you want to weave into, and also weave into the chakras to make sure you're pretty open to the divine powers. So basically we're fully waking up your system to be like a god.
Regarding the picking of the deity, someone is saying, I did the Egyptian prayer to invite a deity for a number of days, but no one came. Eventually, my higher self appeared in a dream. Should I still pick a deity to connect to?
Carry on. It might take more than a few days. Sometimes, you know, you have to give time for them to... They have to, it's almost like testing you to realize, to show you that you are really dedicated and interested, when they really show themselves. But higher self is a good first step. You know something's happening. At some point, the higher self will show you what deity it is, or maybe the deity will come separately, one way or another. Just be fluid with how it works. Do your meditations and actually just be open. Maybe the higher self will come more and start telling you about which deities to work with, or maybe the deity will come as well. It come in many ways, and also the dreams can be symbolic. Look for signs that suggest a certain deity. Sometimes it's about feeling more. Sometimes it might not be in a dream, but suddenly you find yourself being called towards a deity. You feel a heart connection. There's many ways it can happen, but give it a bit more time.
How is gold used in multidimensional connections?
Interesting about gold is that a single atom of gold can store infinite energy. It is very much a doorway in itself, and its ability to actually store everything. It's all about astral energy here, one thing that interests you. It's interesting in physics, things have properties of electromagnetical, what they call, for instance, permittivity and permeability, how much electrical or magnetic field that they can hold. But actually, on a magical level, gold can store infinite energy. Therefore, there's a little bit of gold in your potions and things, and your herbal mixtures and things, which you charge up, it actually stores all the energy you put into it, no limit. So by its very nature, it kind of stores energy, because it is no way where it's beyond space. It doesn't matter how much there is, if there's one atom of gold, it can store as much energy as you want.
And another question, what about when laws are so firmly in place, a self-belief or law that has been fixed itself firmly on many dimensions, can we use the dark elves to change things there to allow these laws to be broken down?
Yeah, I mean, the dark elves can break the law totally by working with them. It's something that you can't often do yourself, because this is too beyond your present state of consciousness. You travel with a dark elf and go there and watch them break it down. That's a usual way of doing it. The important thing with magical work is you have to observe. You're the observer. Once something's observed, it's happened. If you haven't observed, it hasn't happened yet. That's a simple rule. So you let the dark elves do it while you just watch, basically. That's how it works. But yes, they can break any law. It might be beyond your capacity, but it's not beyond theirs. It might take a bit of time if it's a big law, but they will get in there, right to its roots, and break it down. The thing is, laws happen at a certain level. If it's beyond the law, it might be something else beyond it, like the demon, a demon tree, and so on. Remember, a law happens on the unconscious level. Beliefs are subconscious, laws go to unconscious. It goes even deeper to the kind of more personified levels, and animal-like levels, it becomes like a demon. That's different from a law, because now it seems intelligent, it's following around and sabotaging you. And that's, you know, that takes another kind of type of magic altogether. The dark elves break down the law. If you can't break the law, you might suspect there's something even deeper.
Going back to the gold question, is it best to use monatomic gold?
Doesn't matter. Any atom of gold can store infinite energy. All depends what you're using it for. I mean, monatomic gold is a good one to put into potions that you're drinking, because it seems to be good the way it blends into the body. But any kind of gold will store magical energy. For instance, when you make magical inks to draw talismans with, you have a tiny bit of gold in those. Sometimes the colloidal gold is easy because it's soluble, so you know it'll mix in most easily, so I tend to use that anyway. Colloidal gold being a solution could be put into things.
And what about silver? Am I right now more drawn to silver? Oh, sorry, questions keep coming in and popping them up. I am right now more drawn to silver than gold.
Different reason. Different properties. I mean, we use gold as a fluid, what we call a fluid accumulator. It's meant to store magical energy. Silver is more lunar in its nature, but also it's actually really good for killing bugs and viruses and things, or other substances it's obviously producing. So silver is used basically for health purposes. You get colloidal silver, it stops bacteria from multiplying. This is very important because you're trying to get rid of a disease, and except they're multiplying as fast as you can kill them. Just stop it from multiplying, it'll soon die out anyway. So colloidal silver is the most basic immune kind of assistant to actually make sure these things don't keep multiplying so they die away. It's actually better than trying to kill them when they keep multiplying. It's just stopping them multiplying. That's how colloidal silver works. So it's very good as an antibacterial agent and for various viruses and things. But also being lunar in its nature, it can get you the energy of the moon and therefore help the intuitive side of yourself develop. If you're drawn towards it because you want to do more your intuitive side, dreams and clairvoyance, all those things. In that case, use it at night for dreaming. Now, I'll combine other things here. Like, for instance, one way we use for dreaming in voodoo is to have a bowl of water with a bit of camphor added, which you then bless around and put it under the bed, under where your head rests, and that produces lucid dreaming. Colloidal silver in that is going to help because it's that lunar energy again. It conducts the energy of that to actually awaken your intuition in the dream state. So that's another way of using it. For dreaming, put it under the bed, put it in your herbal potion, things will help with the health and to gently boost your intuition.
Is it true that the dry sanna attunements will make it easy to communicate with angels?
Which ones?
Is it dry sanna or drisanna?
Or drisanna.
Drisanna, okay. Thank you.
Well, it depends where they're coming from. A lot of people use these words now. This is simply a word which meant the kind of superhuman being. And somebody's jumped on the bandwagon and said, okay, we can do this now, make you a superhuman. You don't know how actually real those are. See, people like to jump on these words and use them because somebody hasn't used before and becomes the next fashion, which sounds really good. So you don't know how, can't we tell how good they are until you know the person who's doing them, where they're coming from, where the power coming from, what is the tradition?
Next question is, why does meteorite have DNA of angels and demons, etc.? And how do you best use them? How does one know which are good ones?
Well, first of all, meteorite doesn't have DNA, it's rock. DNA is organic. You look at the Earth. If something came to the atmosphere and burnt up, any DNA would be burnt away. It's not going to have DNA in it. This is nonsense. They can have the energy, yes. You see, they're kind of crystalline, but it's a different kind of crystalline structure because they're cooling down the layers, therefore they have a round spherical structure rather than a kind of straight one like quartz has. Basically, what you've got in the meteorite is a spherical crystalline structure. These make really good for attracting and bringing things in and out, as it were. Because they're being beyond our atmosphere, they are more tuned to extraterrestrial energies, things beyond, not just about aliens and things. When we look at what's beyond this Earth, it's taking actually beyond our limited three-dimensional reality. It's interesting that once you get into space, you get to a place where the laws of physics break down. Same when you go into kind of the nuclear physics, you begin to see the kind of laws of magic appearing there in a way we don't normally see in the physical world. It seems the things that are outside our reality and the very edge where you see the magic happening. Like, for instance, we know from the particle physics that neutrinos can be expected to become. You invent a particle, there it is. Everything has been created out of consciousness. This always happens in astrophysics when you look way across the universe and things we don't normally see. You find they're actually working with magic properties, not normal physical properties. So we're actually outside the three-dimensional reality, you're actually being open to something greater. This way, which one becomes handy because it's like that spherical crystalline structure that's come from beyond our plane is only something that's beyond here. Simple. Therefore, they can be very useful to actually tune you to these high dimensions. One of the best ones for this is tektite. That's a kind of crystal that comes from meteorite. It's a smolder pipe, it's another kind of meteorite crystal. These have been known to boost the third eye, but tektite is particularly good for actually reopening to higher powers.
Okay, a few days ago, I started to help a friend who suffers from epilepsy seizures with psionics. I neutralized the epilepsy, the seizures, and all other mental illnesses that she had with the Sri Yantra and discreated all that and achieved perfect mental health frequencies. My question is, will that do for her?
It might do, but it's always good to look at cause. Sometimes you actually look, control things from the surface level, but if there's a cause underneath, it hasn't been dealt with, it'll find another way of creeping out. Now, what's behind epilepsy is, first of all, it's caused physical level because there's a swelling of the pituitary gland putting pressure in that part of the brain. It's swelling as a result of toxins. Usually what's out of balance is a large intestine, liver, because you're putting in toxins, and also what we call the triple warm meridian. Heat in the body is changing. So in acupuncture, you treat those meridians first. Now, there's certain psychological causes of those things as well. The triple warm meridian is always linked to kind of clashes of authority, giving power away. Intestines often tells ancestral patterns. Liver tends all the anger and also power issues. So what you're looking at the pattern here is where you're giving away power to those in authority, usually within the own family, and that's a pattern that's already ancestral. So it's all about taking power back, getting rid of all of the things that have conditioned you not to be yourself. Those in the family have told you how to be, losing yourself. If you deal with those issues, you deal with it permanently. It doesn't come back. So when you're doing any kind of healing chart, it's good to actually look at causes as well. It's great you've neutralized this, the actual condition itself, but also do something to neutralize the cause. Now, the runes are very good for this. And the one which actually gives you that authority back when you've been disempowered is the Tio rune. One for releasing the ancestors is the R rune. The liver use the Ken, which actually stops them, the things from harming you. So it makes them fall before they get to you. These really protect from nature, stop those old influences from actually taking away your power. So that would actually get more to the cause to make sure it's fully dealt with.
In the article that you wrote, you were talking about how prana comes in through the fifth dimension, and immediately cleared something in me, and more energy came in. It was like an allowing of that flow. Thank you very much. So it was more of a statement than a question, but I don't know if you want to say anything about that, Peter.
Yes, that's how it works. That's why I like these things. Just understanding these different dimensions really kind of opens you to what's really about. So when you see people talk about things, you haven't got a clue what they're saying. It's hard to attune to it. Once you are get the picture of how this works, and suddenly it kind of, you let it in. The understanding is the first part. That's why I like these things, so people can actually understand how reality is working.
Going back to, I need to read that, so I'll just go on to something else. What is the first and second dimension, and who or what lives there?
Well, a dimension basically is simply, lines, areas. The dimension is just how many directions you've got. Like, for instance, a point that has no size at all will be considered no dimensions. First dimension is a line, only has one way to go, up and down. Two dimensions, then flat surface and area. We don't really see things in two dimensions from our world because everything is three-dimensional here. But from a distance, it might seem that way. Like, for instance, if you look at, say, a rope stretched out between two places, from where we are, that seems one dimension. But an intake call along that, we realize that it's got width and everything, it's three-dimensional. It's also a matter of perspective. Our world, by its very nature, is three-dimensional, physical. If something is flat like on paper, it's almost like a diagram, it's not really a physical thing. One dimension is what we need to actually almost define everything. You need to define what dimension is first before we actually go three dimensions. You have one, two, three. We kind of start creating dimensions. The odd thing about this, though, is that the first dimension seems to be the kind of important point that holds all dimensions together. See, when you actually go beyond the 10th dimension, in string theory, you find everything is created by vibrating 11-dimensional strings. It's called a string because it's only really one dimension forming a loop. Yet the 11th dimension is made out of those, which means the 11th is also the first. So although we might see a straight line, if you turn it into a loop, we get the whole course of reality where everything else is built upon these little one-dimensional loops. So in a way, we're all one-dimensional. Everything is created out of these little strings. There has to be one dimension for all dimensions to exist. You won't have separate beings living in those second dimensions, apart from ones we can invent, obviously, like when you have cartoons. Now, these are conscious in their own way because we create echo calls around them. And in the way these have different properties in their own nature, we find certain stories and cartoons are affecting people in the mind. Particularly in Japan, when people got too attached to the anime, there's actually mental illnesses created out of that. It becomes too much to reality. It causes them to dimension the world. So there are no natural beings of two-dimensional, but we create them because we are the way we learn to open a piece of paper and draw things. So you're drawing his representation of something, usually. We draw a three-dimensional object on a two-dimensional surface, and you can actually, you can look at this picture and realize it should be something three-dimensional. Somehow it's the image tells you about it. It's representation. Cartoons, on the other hand, it's like once you draw in two dimensions, that's what that point exists on. Some cartoons you might draw to look three-dimensional, but some of the basic cartoons where you're flat, aren't they? You actually create these two-dimensional beings, these aggregates. Not really, really useful when you look at it that way, but people do get trapped there.
So we have time for one final question. So this is in a couple of parts. So please bear with me as I read through this one, Peter. I have been burned badly by someone I trusted who cast a mass fallout and loss curse on me, and I've not been in a good way since. It caused me and this Agori to fall out badly, and it made me mistrust everybody and vice versa. I got cursed in order to wreck my life by him, even though I was really tired and I had to try to work hard to rectify everything. The question is, I mean, the fallout curse caused me to fall out with the Agori and spread mistrust. Going back down. Sorry, just scrolling through. So the question is about the person who they trusted, who cast the mass fallout and loss curse, and part of that made the Agori fall out with this person. The Agori told her not to contact him again, and he misunderstood my intention. What on earth can she do?
First step is take your power back. You see, when you trust somebody, you put them in a position where they can do things for you. They have a certain power over your life. So when they kind of break that, you've lost all the power. This is where things affect you. Once you've lost power to somebody this way, then everything gets in because your power isn't there. So you've got to take your power back from the one who's kind of burned you, shattered your trust. And also then you can break the curse. There's two steps. Take power back first, then do the curse-breaking rituals. But taking back power is essentially the first step. Without power, you won't have the power to break the curse, sort of thing. You have to look at this carefully, how much power you've given away. See, when you realise you are God, this luckily is too strong for you, because you create your reality. Anything less than that, you realise you've given power away. You put somebody else above you. You can bow to the Agori by thinking you can actually create your life. You can bow to this person you trusted by letting them do something for you. When you go start going through this process, you might find lots of other people you've given power away to in the process. Anyone who made you think that they have power that you haven't got. So the first step is to go through this whole process of taking your power back. As you do this, you get stronger and stronger. And then you can actually do any other rituals to break the curses and finally cut them off so they don't have to come back to you. You know what happens because you feel confident again. You know you're in charge. You're not afraid of it anymore. Of course, when your power is low, you don't know who to trust because everybody could hurt you again. When you're in your own power, they can't. So you know you're the confidence there. When your confidence is back, then you know that you've got your power back. So take time with this one. Go through everybody who's you've given power away to and take it all back.
Everybody, that is all the time we have today for your questions and answers. So thank you very much, Peter, for giving your introduction on how people can expand themselves through the higher dimensions. As we've already said, there are links, if you would like to join the workshop that is happening in 30 minutes, to gain all of the empowerments and the attunements and all of the practical ways that you can actually do this. If your questions have not been asked, because I know there are still quite a few in the chat, if your questions have not been asked, then please do pop them in MeWe, or you can email Peter individually, and Peter will get back to you. If you are coming to the workshop in 30 minutes, some of you are overthinking the deity thing. I saw the conversation thread in MeWe. Just whichever one you're drawn to, whichever one you like, whichever one you like the colour that they wear or whatever.
And don't worry about it. If you don't do it now, there's always more room later. This is the beginning to actually start you off. I won't wait too much. We can actually change you anyway and make it multidimensional. And we open to you whether deities are right, you know, if you don't know what they are already. So don't make it too big a thing of that one. But if you've got an idea of what you want to work with, come with that. So we'll actually start by creating doorways to those.
Yes. And just to cover off, yes, you can remove the Agori curses once you take the power back, but you need to take your power back first. Mm. Okay.
Always contact me flat and I'll do it for you. But obviously, you know, we need to take work and take your power back as well. That's important. Mm. Mm.
And just a note to say that there will be no student Q&A tomorrow. So you might have noticed that in the newsletter that went out, there was only notification of the Q&A today. So that is it for this month. Next month, we are in August and everybody will be on holiday in August. So there are no Q&As next month. So we will see you for a monthly Q&A in September. But we do have the magical workshops in between. There is always MeWe. And I don't know. And if you really, really want to see Peter's face that much, you can travel all the way to Germany or Netherlands. So thank you so much, everybody. We will speak to you in one way or another. Very much. See some of you in 30 minutes. Thank you.
Okay. See you all soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.